The book of Luke, chapter number 2, and we sure desire your prayers today that the Lord would help us and speak to our hearts. We've been in Luke now, chapter 1, chapter number 2. I preached all the book of December in Luke, chapter number 1, and then last Sunday in Luke, chapter number 2. And when I started, I really didn't plan on doing that, but that's the way that it worked out. And felt like that's how the Lord meant for it to be. But when I started, before I ever even preached the first message out of chapter number 1, I had at first looked at the verses that we're going to look at this morning. And that's what got me really interested in studying that out in chapter 1 about the birth of John, then the birth of Jesus, everything there. So today we're going to read about a man named Simeon. And this Simeon, there's other Simeons in the Bible, but this man is only, he only appears on the scene one time. And he does one thing. And we might live our lives, our whole lives, and say, you know, I never really did much. But it might be that the Lord has one thing for us that we might be remembered by. And so we see this man Simeon that we're going to look at this morning. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 25. The Bible said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today and for all the blessings that you've given to us. And I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would help us today. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts and help us by the power of thy word. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. I pray that we would be changed for thy honor and for thy glory. And Lord, we realize today that the way that you change us is by your word and by the application of that by the Holy Spirit of God. And so I pray today that the Spirit would take the word of God and touch us and change us and make us what you'd have us to be. Help us as we start out in this new year, that Lord, we'd start out with a desire that would last throughout the whole year, that we would live our lives for your honor and for your glory. And I pray for liberty, I pray for good freedom of thought, and I pray, Lord, you'd forgive us of our sins, forgive me, help us today. We humbly ask it all, not because we're anything, but we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, we're going to go back and read a couple of verses just to sort of get us started this morning, and I want us to start in verse 28 and verse number 29. And the Bible says over there, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." And you might remember back a few weeks ago, I said that the message of Luke chapter number 1 is that Jesus is coming soon. That was the whole thrust of everything that is said. Jesus is coming soon. We saw that in the birth of John the Baptist. We saw that in the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ when Gabriel came to Mary and So we saw that the Lord's coming soon in Luke chapter number 1. The message of Luke chapter number 2 is Jesus is here. He's arrived. And we looked at that last week, the birth of the Lord Jesus, and we saw some things over there. We saw just quickly the announcement of the angel when the angel appeared to the shepherds. And the good news is found in verse 11. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the other angels, they came upon the scene and they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So the announcement of the angels in verse 11, verse number 15. Then we saw the adoration of the shepherds in verse number 15. The Bible said that the shepherds said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they went and they saw the baby Jesus, and then they went out and they spread it abroad. They went and they told others about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verses 25 through verse number 35, we see the anticipation of Simeon. And Simeon, the Bible says, and talks about him here, the Holy Ghost had revealed something unto him. The Bible said in verse number 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And so the Holy Ghost of God had revealed unto Simeon, this old man of God, that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And so we can imagine the anticipation of this old man. I believe that he had to know. He had to know that it would be soon. You remember that the birth of John the Baptist was miraculous, and that it was made known that Elizabeth, who was well stricken in years, she's going to have a baby. Well, that's a miracle. And then the miracle of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord had let Simeon know that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Can you imagine the anticipation, the excitement of Simeon as he knew what the Lord had in store for him? And now Simeon, we find here in this passage of Scripture, he not only sees the Messiah, but he holds the Messiah in his hands. The Bible said here in verse number 29, look what the Bible said, verse 28, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." And so we find that Simeon has the confession here, "Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die now." The thing that the Lord had showed him was going to come to pass, it came to pass. And he said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace." Have you ever saw, and I know that you have, but you see it in, it goes back for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years, but this depiction of Father Time and Baby New Year. You see it this time of year especially. You'll see it in the newspaper, in the comics. You see it in art. You see it in literature. Father Time is mentioned in a lot of books, movies. You find it's very common. And Father Time is depicted by being an old man. This old man's dressed in a long white robe, and he has a big long flowing beard, and he's usually carrying a sickle around. And he is greeting in Baby New Year. The new year comes in, and it's represented by a little baby, and Father Time is going out. He's represented by the old man. And I can't help but think about that image in my mind when I think about Simeon and the baby Jesus. The Bible said in Galatians 4 and 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." And so in Simeon and the Lord Jesus Christ, we have here a beautiful picture. Simeon representing the Old Testament law. He's the last of the last. The Old Testament law, it never could be fulfilled by man. They tried to observe the law and keep the law, but the law, what does the law? The law is a school teacher, and it points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. In all them years, the law had been pointing to something, not that man was capable to keep the law, but that that the Messiah was going to have to come, and he would keep all the law. And so we could call this a lot of things this morning. We could call it Father Time, Baby New. We could call it out with the old and in with the new. Because we're not saved by the law. And thank God this morning, we're not under the law anymore. We're under the grace of God because the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law and died according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the only reason we can be saved this morning, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that there we have a picture of that. Out with the old, in with the new. Simeon here, the old man. He says, "Now I'm ready to die. Lord, let me depart in peace." How is it that a man can come to a place in his life where he testifies and says, "I'm ready to go"? And I believe that's what I'm going to call that this morning. Lord, now I'm ready. Could you testify this morning like Simeon did and say, "Lord, now I'm ready to go. Now I'm ready to go"? How can a man, how can a woman with assurance? We all would like to say that this morning, but really? Really, if you knew that your time was drawing very, very close, could you say, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go"? Simeon could say, "Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, Lord," verse 29, "now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Now I want to show you some things this morning, just three simple little things, how that Simeon could testify and say, "Lord, now I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to go." Number one, he had been faithful in the Lord's precepts. And the word precept is another word for God's word. You find it in Psalms 119 and other places in the Bible about the precepts of the Lord. He had been faithful in the Lord's precepts. He had been faithful in the word of the Lord. Look what the Bible said in verse 25. It said, "And behold, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Now, the name Simeon, it means this. It means hearing with intelligence. You know, a lot of times we hear things, but we do not hear intelligently. We do not hear with understanding. We might hear something, but we're not paying attention. Now, Kim's not here today, and I can really pick on her about that. She says, "I don't listen," but I'm telling you, she don't listen either. Because just this morning, I'll not give all the details, but I asked her something, and she followed me along, and she said, I thought you wanted me." And I said, "Well, not right now." And I told her that. I said, "I just told you that." She said, "I didn't hear you." "You did hear me too. You just wasn't listening." And we're guilty of that all the time. But the name Simeon, it means to hear intelligently. It means to listen with understanding. And here, Simeon, his name comes from one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a tribe, Simeon. There's an original Simeon in the Bible. Simeon was the second son of Isaac by Leah. And if you study about the original Simeon in the Bible, he wasn't a whole lot to brag about. He is usually mentioned with his brother Levi. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 49, and I believe it's verse number 5, that Levi and Simeon were brethren. And Levi and Simeon, they are men that hang together and basically get in trouble together. You know, not all of your friends, sometimes even people in your own family, are not good for you. And that's how Simeon and Levi were. His father, Isaac, when Isaac was dying over in Genesis chapter number 49, do you remember over there? He gave out a blessing or something to say about all of his sons. And in Genesis chapter number 49, Isaac mentions Simeon and Levi. And when they are mentioned in the Bible together by their father, they said, Isaac said about Simeon and Levi, he said about them that in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. And that's referring to something that had happened in their lives before that and had to do with their sister. And they went down and they killed a whole bunch of men over their sister. Some of you probably remember that happening in the Bible. But in their anger, they did that. And in their self-will, they did that. Self-will is mentioned three times in the Bible. Do you know how much self-will gets us in trouble? In their self-will, they did that. What they did, they didn't do according to the will of God. They did it because they just wanted to. Simeon and Levi, I believe, they had a mean streak about them. They just went and done pretty much what they wanted to do. Self-will is mentioned in relation to pastors in the book of Titus chapter number 1. And it says about a bishop or a pastor not self-willed. Do you know as a pastor? Even as a pastor, you just don't get to do anything you want to do. You better do what the Lord wants you to do. It's mentioned in relation to pastors, and it is mentioned in the book of 1 Peter in relation to apostates, that they are self-willed. An apostate, somebody that rejects the Word of God, what are they doing? They're just doing what they want to do. Self-will will get you in trouble. And Simeon, the original Simeon, now I'm talking about in the Bible, he never amounts to anything much until he separates from his brother Levi. And once he gets disassociated with Levi, he begins to prosper. He begins to be fruitful. But you and I will never amount to much for God as long as we do what we're doing in self-will. We got to get separated from that. And the original Simeon eventually became separated from that, and he began to prosper. Now, this Simeon that we're studying about in Luke chapter number 2, he's the total opposite of the first Simeon. There's some good things said about him, but notice he's not associated here at all with anybody but him and the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says about this Simeon that Simeon is just and devout in verse number 25, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. Now, a lot of people talk about and they live their lives. Oh, what's the Lord want me to do? What am I supposed to do today? What am I supposed to do when I leave church today? And, you know, if you don't know what to do, you can be safe with that right there. If you don't have any clear direction and guidance right now in your life, oh, preacher, what am I supposed to do? Here's what we do. Let's be just and devout. Now, just has to do with your relationship with other people. To be right with other people, to treat other people correctly, to have justice in our lives. To be devout talks about our relationship with God. That I walk with God, that I listen to His Word, that I communicate with God through prayer. I'm devout. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm just with my fellow man. I'm right with other people. And I'm devout. I'm devoted to God. I've got a good balance there in my life. Do you know some people are lopsided? They're one way, but not the other way. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. King David in the Bible, I believe everybody would agree this morning that King David was devout. He was devoted to God. He's a sweet psalmist of Israel. Look at the book of Psalms, you'll find David's name. Look through the Bible, David. David was a man after God's own heart. He was devout. But do you know he was not always just with other people? He wasn't always right with other people. He didn't always do right by other people. Look at Uriah in the Bible. Why? He took Bathsheba, had relationship with her. She was married to Uriah. And in order to cover it up, he had Uriah eventually put to death on the battlefield and acted like there wasn't a thing under the sun wrong. But that's not just, is it? But David was devout. He was devoted to the Lord. David had a lot of problems in his own family. His son Absalom. I was just reading about that this past week. What a mess. I mean, you talk about a messed up situation. That there's a lot of things in David's own family that was not right. You know, he loved Absalom, and Absalom was away, and he sent for Absalom to come near him, and Absalom moved back home, and for 2 years, David didn't even speak to him. Just a mess. David was devout, but David was not just. Some people are just, but they're not devout. Some people, they have a moral code, and you know, they're never going to lie, and they're always going to pay their bill, and if they owe somebody that's worked for them, they're going to make sure. That just reminded me, somebody done something for me last week, and hadn't paid them yet. But I will. I just remembered that, but I didn't leave a bill. But anyway, you wouldn't believe what goes through your mind while you're preaching. It has to be the Lord helps you, or you couldn't say two words together. But some people, they are just. They say, well, I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to be moral, and I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. But they're not devout when it comes to God. They don't give God His day, they don't give God His tithe, they don't give God His place in their lives, but they would say, well, I'm a good person. But they're not devout. Simeon is a man who is just and devout. He's right with his fellow man, he's right with God. Simeon is an excellent example of how to live our lives. He was faithful to the Lord's precepts. He didn't just talk about loving God, he did love God. He didn't just talk about loving his brethren, he did love his brethren. He was faithful to the Lord's precepts. You want to be ready to go to meet the Lord one day? You're going to have to be faithful to the Lord's precepts. I don't want to get down to the end and say, oh, I wish I'd have done this different. Wish I'd have treated this person different, or I wish I'd have followed the Lord more. Simeon had both of these things in his life. Simeon is just and devout. Look in verse number 25. Simeon waited, the Bible said. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting upon the Lord. That's what he was doing. Waiting for the Messiah. Some of the hardest things we do in our life has to do with just waiting. Isn't it hard to wait? We talk about the Lord coming. Oh, I wish the Lord would come soon. But you don't wait without faith. You have to have faith in order to wait. You don't wait on things that you don't believe are going to happen, do you? I know that some of you here this morning, you can recall preachers who have stood and said, I believe that I'll be living when the Lord comes again. You ever heard any preacher say that? I have. I've heard Preacher Carl reference that. I remember Preacher Art Greer talking about that. Stand up and tell the whole church, I believe I'll be alive when the Lord comes. Well, Simeon, you know what his testimony was? I believe I'll be alive when the Lord comes. He's waiting on the consolation of Israel. Now, let me say this morning, there's no shame in waiting and it not coming to pass in your lifetime. The important thing is that we are waiting in faith. All of those preachers that I can think about this morning, and I know others living today that have said the same thing. I believe I'll be alive when the Lord comes. I believe we're that close. There's no shame in dying before the Lord comes. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter number 11, that great hall of fame of faith. And I believe when you get down about verse number 13, it says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. There's no shame in dying if you die in faith. But it's a shame to live and not have any faith. And old Simeon, he's ready to go. He's got faith. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Do you know you and I today are waiting? Our blessed hope is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting this morning. I hope we're waiting in faith. I hope we're looking for the Lord to come. That's our blessed hope. It's the coming of the Lord. Simeon, he waited in faith. There's no shame in that. Here's something else about Simeon. The Bible said that he had the Holy Ghost upon him. Look at verse number 25 again. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, 15, 16, Romans chapter number 8, a lot of places in the Bible this morning we could go to talk about. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost of God comes and lives in your heart and your life. He seals us until the day of redemption, but not all believers are full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Ephesians 5 and 18, it said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And I believe when we talk about Simeon here, here's a person, the Holy Ghost was upon him. He is filled with the Spirit of God. He's got God all over him. He's got the Spirit of God upon him. One of the reasons we know that he was filled with the Spirit of God, or God was upon him in the person of the Holy Ghost, is because if you look on down in verse number 26, you find that he was taught of the Holy Ghost. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You can go to every Bible college on the East Coast, but if the Spirit of God does not teach you, you won't learn a thing. I mean, you might learn a lot of facts and figures and timelines and outlines and all kind of things like that. But let me tell you, this book is God's book, and it is a spiritual book. And if the Holy Ghost of God doesn't open our eyes and teach us, we're not going to learn anything. Remember when I was a young preacher, and I don't know what it is about young preachers, but a lot of times the first thing people want to ask you is, where are you going to go to school? Now you remember I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. And when I came back from England, and we went back to our home church and a lot of our family and everything, and that was the first thing, where are you going to go to school? Where are you going to go to seminary? I'll tell you, every time I heard that, it sort of grieved me in my spirit that people would put more emphasis upon going to school than they would on being taught by the Spirit of God. And I remember my grandpa Cornette, he gave me a verse over in 1 John. I'm going to share it with you this morning. It's really helped me down through the years. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 27, it says this, but the anointing, and anointing in the Bible has to do with the Spirit of God. It said, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. That's where the Spirit of God is. If you're saved, He's in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, there's nothing wrong with human teaching. I'm involved in a Bible Institute and do a lot of teaching. But if the Spirit of God doesn't teach us, it's no good. It's not worth anything. The Spirit of God is the one that's going to teach you the great truths of the Word of God. The Spirit of God is the one that's going to teach you that you are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is the one that's going to teach you that His Word is true and is no lie. The Spirit of God is going to teach you that God created the heavens and the earth. Man doesn't teach those things. The Spirit of God shows us the truth of His Word. And Simeon is a man who was taught by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had showed him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon's an old man, but I'll tell you, he's not looking to die. He's looking to see the Lord. Because the Lord showed him that. The Spirit of God showed him that. He was taught by the Spirit. In verse number 27, if you look at that verse, you'll find that he was led by the Spirit of God. It said, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Now, a lot of people would say that, and they would say, my, what a coincidence. But I don't believe that was a coincidence. He was led there by the Spirit of God. And here come Joseph and Mary, and they've got the Lord Jesus. They've got the Messiah. That's no coincidence. God is in every bit of those arrangements. He's taught by the Spirit of God. He is led by the Spirit of God. I believe in our day and time, and we have to be real careful. We're living in the last days. In the last days, there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of self-will. There's a lot of Laodicean. We're rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. We just have to be careful about everything because of where we are in time. And I think in our day and time, a lot of people are just doing what they want to do and calling it being led by the Spirit of God. But there's a lot goes on under the name of Christianity that is not led of the Spirit of God. We need to be real careful about how we use that led of the Spirit. God did this and God did that. Did He really? Or are we just witnessing people doing what they want to do and being calling it being led by the Spirit of God? Well, how do we know? How do we know? If we look back up through this Scripture, there's some things we can definitely say about Simeon. And we can say about Simeon that in these verses, here is a man that has the Holy Ghost of God upon him. And he is willing to wait on the Lord. And he is living a just and a devout life. If somebody is not living a just and devout life, I doubt they're being led by the Spirit of God. And he's led and he's taught by the Spirit of God. But he has all of these things going on in his life. And so Simeon can testify and he can say, Lord, I'm ready. Well, look at his life. Sure, he's ready. He's been faithful to the Lord's precepts. Number two this morning, he beheld the Lord's promise. And I mean literally, in his arms, he held the Messiah. He's ready to go. He beheld the Lord's promise in verses 28 through 30. The Bible said, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Look what he says here. If we ever really behold the Lord Jesus, if we ever really get our eyes on Him, do you know what? It'll change us. It'll change our perception of the world. It will change our perception of other people. Now look what Simeon said. Verse number 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon represents that Old Testament law. But Simeon does not say, I believe I'll go to heaven because I've kept the law. I've been a good man. I've been just. I've been devout. I've tried to always follow the Lord and all of these things. If you ever really see the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. Salvation is totally, completely by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not by good things we've done, but because of His righteousness. He didn't say, I've seen Moses. He didn't say, I've seen Abraham. He didn't say, I'm in the lineage of Simeon. I'm one of the 12 tribes. He said, I have seen thy salvation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, salvation. He said, I've seen the Lord now. The Lord Jesus Christ is how we go to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Peter said in Acts 4:12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one way to be saved. It's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon seen that. I like verse number 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Have you seen the Lord's salvation this morning? Can you testify and say, I've been saved? Well, how come? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But he saw something else. He knew, verse number 31, that Christ was also the light of the Gentiles. Verse 31, he said, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's us. I don't think we have any Jews among us this morning. We might. We praise the Lord for that, but most of us, just Gentiles. We have no physical lineage to the 12 tribes. We cannot say the Lord Jesus is one of our brethren. We are unrelated. We're not a covenant people. But He came to lighten the Gentiles. Do you know Simeon knew more than Peter did after Peter had walked with the Lord and been a disciple for over 3 years? After Peter had preached, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All the way up to Acts chapter number 10, Peter had a question in his mind. Is salvation for the Gentiles? Do you remember when they sent for Peter to come and preach at the man's house and they were Gentiles and he said, Lord, I'm a Jew. And all that Gentile stuff is unclean to me. Simeon knew more than Peter did. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the light of the Gentiles. He knew also that God was not done with Israel. Look in the last part of verse 32. And the glory of thy people Israel. Now there's a lot of church groups, Christian groups out here today, and they think that the church has replaced Israel. But the church never replaced Israel. The church is the church and Israel is Israel. And God is not done with His covenant people. God is not done with Israel and you and I are not Israel today. If you look in verse number 25, the Bible said over there that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation, it means this. It means comfort. It means alleviation of misery. It means refreshment. It means happiness in distress or misfortune. And that has never happened since the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Shortly after that, Jerusalem was destroyed. Jews today don't know what tribe or what family that they come from. They've been hounded. They've been hunted. They've been persecuted. They've been slaughtered all over the world. The Lord has never comforted and alleviated their misery and refreshed them in their trouble. Not yet. But He's going to. He's going to. The Lord is not done with Israel. And Israel today, of all the nations of the world, do you know who has the brightest future? Well, maybe it's us because we've got Donald Trump going to be president. It's not even us. The nation in the world today that has the brightest future is the nation of Israel. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And guess where He's coming to? He's not coming to Washington, D.C. He's going over there. And He's going to set up a throne, the throne of David. And He's going to rule and reign 1,000 years from Jerusalem. That's His people. The Lord is not done with Israel. Simeon knew that here in the Bible. He said in verse number 32, "And the glory of thy people Israel." Simeon is mentioned one more time in the Bible in Acts chapter number 15. And that's where Peter and the disciples, they went back to Jerusalem and James presided over the meeting. And that early church, they were trying to decide, is salvation for the Gentiles? And James mentions Simeon. And he said, Simeon hath before declared. And he talks about the Gentiles and he talks about the Jews. Simeon knew what he was talking about. He beheld the Lord's promise. And one last thing this morning. Now I know you stayed up till 12 last night. I can tell by looking at some of you. There's one last thing about Simeon I can say this morning. That why could he say, Lord, I'm ready to go now. He had been faithful to the Lord's precepts. He had beheld the Lord's promise. He held the Messiah in his own arms. And last of all, he blessed the Lord's people. Now look at verse number 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold this child. I'm not going to go any further than that, but I just want to point out, Simeon blessed the Lord's people. If you look up in verse number... Let's see what verse is. Verse number 33, the people that he blessed was Joseph and his mother. Notice it does not say his father Joseph, it says Joseph and his mother. Joseph was just his stepfather, and he was a good one, by the way. But his father is God the Father. And the Bible is very clear when it comes to talking about Joseph and Mary. But he blessed Joseph and his mother. He blessed the Lord's people. We were talking with some people over Christmas, and they were talking about what somebody had put on Facebook, and they said, this fellow put something on Facebook, and he asked the question, he said, why do all these Christians stand up for Israel? Why should we stand up for Israel? I mean, the Jews, and he made this point. He said, the Jews crucified our Savior. Now, there's a lot of that mentality today, but that is wrong. Why do Christians have a special place in our heart for Israel? Let me tell you something this morning. That's the Lord's people. That's why we have a special place in our heart. It's not because of the way they act. It's not because... It has nothing to do with nothing except that's the Lord's people. And God is not done with Israel. That is why our Lord and Savior is a Jew in the flesh. Do you remember in John chapter number 4 when Jesus was talking with the woman at the well and she was a Samaritan? A Samaritan is... part Jew, part Gentile. And the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. But Jesus sat and talked with the woman at the well, and she was talking about religion, and he was talking about that he was the living water. But the Lord Jesus said in John 4:22, he said, salvation is of the Jews. If it wasn't for the Jews, you and I couldn't be saved. Because the Lord came through the Jewish lineage. Salvation is of the Jews. That's why we ought to bless the Lord's people. All the disciples were Jewish. All the early church, the majority of the people in the early church were all Jewish. Our Bible, Romans 3:2, talks about the Jews, that the oracles of God were committed unto them. You want to find the fingerprint of the Bible other than the Holy Ghost of God? You'll find Jewish fingerprints all over our Bible. Our Bible is basically a Jewish Bible written by Jewish people. It's the Lord's people. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12:13. God told Abraham, and Abraham is the Lord's people, Jewish people. God promised Abraham, he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. You want to know why God's been good to America? It's not because America's good. America's been a friend of the Jews our whole history, which is pretty short. Russia has been an enemy. Germany has been an enemy to the Jewish people. A lot of nations have been an enemy to the Jews, and they've reaped the judgment of God. God said, I'll bless him that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. Simeon could say, Lord, I'm ready to go. Lord, I'm ready to depart. He was a friend. He had blessed the Lord's people. I want to bless the Lord's people today. And I'm going to bring something up before the church here before long. I talked to Brother Freed a while back. He's one of our Jewish pastors and friends we've known for years, and they're trying to do something. I want to be a blessing to the Lord's people. I want to try to win them to their Messiah. But I want to close this morning by just simply asking the question, could you say like Simeon, could you say today, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to go. If we're going to say I'm ready to go, we're going to have to be separated from what is holding us back. Just like the first Simeon. And let's just be honest. There's some things in our lives, year after year, month after month, season after season, that just simply holds us back. It might be somebody. It might be something. But I don't have to go down through a long list this morning. You probably know what your thing is that holds you back. We're going to have to get separated from that. Like the first Simeon. We're going to have to be like the second Simeon that we have studied about here this morning. We're going to have to follow the Lord. And we're going to have to be full of the Spirit of God. We're going to have to be taught by Him and led by Him in order to really, really be ready to go. That's the last words that I wrote in 2016, I did stay up till midnight last night, but I was studying, not watching the ball stuff. And right before I got done and closed my Bible up, I wrote those words, and I thought about that. That's the last words I'll write this year. Are you ready? And then the first words I wrote this year, I said, I'm going to have to be separate from what's holding me back. I'm going to have to follow the Lord. I'm going to have to be full of the Holy Ghost if I'm really going to be ready. And Simeon was ready. He said in these verses one last time, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. I'm ready. Now, how long was it before he died? We don't know. How long before the Lord comes? We don't know. How long before we go? Not a one of us knows. But I'd say Simeon just went on doing what was right, wouldn't you? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask just our ladies to come to the instruments this morning, and I'm just going to ask them to play, one of you or both of you, however you want to do it this morning. Maybe you're here today and God spoke to your heart.